that pretty soon you really think that person said that, or you really think that person feels that way. And you know, it gets worse and worse in your mind, and you don't really think there's anything wrong with it. It's innocent because, you know, you're not yelling at them. You're not saying anything nasty to their face. You might even smile at them real pretty when they come around, you know. But the problem is most of the time that doesn't stay in your mind either. You have a really good friend, you know, and what do? You rant to them about it, and you start making up motives for this person. You start, anything that they do or anything that they say, you decide what they meant by that. You know, it might not be what they meant, but you think you know what they meant by that. And we have to be really careful with that, because we can get a tainted view of what they actually, who they are. And slowly it starts to destroy our appreciation for that person, and it makes us start to despise them. The Bible says that out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We start to just talk about them. And, you know, even when you're with them, you end up saying something oftentimes, and you're like, oh boy, shut up now, because I didn't mean to say that, and they don't know that I feel that way. Then there's envy. I think everybody knows what envy is. We probably all experienced it one time in our life, at least. It's basically when we feel resentment towards somebody because we think that they have an advantage over us. Like, we think, you know, oh, she's prettier than me, or she can sing better than me, or life's so easy for her. She has a boyfriend. And that's a big one for a lot of girls. She has a boyfriend. She's better. And envy destroys us also from the inside out. I was looking envy up in the dictionary, and I kind of came across something I hadn't thought about before. It said that it comes from the word malice. It is kind of the same as malice, which is totally true, because when we feel jealousy or we envy somebody, we tend to get this evil little joy out of them failing or they messed up, you know, because it proves that they're not better than us after all. So I said earlier that thoughts can destroy our purity and our innocence, and this is kind of hard for me to know how to talk about. There's kind of a young audience here, but I think it's important. I was talking to a friend a while back, and she asked me if I thought it was wrong to fantasize about a guy, like, in a wrong way. Things that are not meant till for after marriage. And I would have to say I do believe that that's wrong. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence." Now, lust is just desire. It's not necessarily meaning lust in a bad way, but it says the lust of concupiscence, and concupiscence is strong sexual desire. So it says that we should not feed our desires in our imaginations and in our thoughts. It says, "For God hath not called us to uncleanness or impurity, but unto holiness." God should be the one, as a single girl, that fulfills our heart's desires. Obviously, it's not going to be in necessarily that area, but that is something that God reserved for after marriage, and I think it's wrong for us to imagine it or allow ourselves to go there. Our thoughts should be kept pure for that man that God brings into our lives someday. Now, you might not even be thinking wrong thoughts, per se. You might just be, like, obsessing. Is obsessing wrong? I think it is. Obsessing about a guy or about anything in your life gets in the way of God because it becomes an idol in your life. When you just allow yourself to think about it and think about it. Anything that you put ahead of God, not only in your life, but also in your mind, is sin. It's an idol. And it steals your heart from God. Your heart belongs to God. And he has a right to be jealous of that spot in your mind. He has a right. And he wants to be the number one in your thoughts. He wants to be the driving passion within you. The first commandment is, love the Lord with your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, when a wrong thought pops into your mind, it's not necessarily wrong. It's not sin yet. It's what you choose to do with it that determines whether it's sin or not. Whether you allow yourself to just feed the flame and keep going, it starts burning within you. Or if you immediately stop and say no and pray. Pray for God's victory and the faith to believe that God can take that out of your mind, that God can give you pure thoughts. Sometimes it seems like you have to do that over and over again. Even the next minute. And sometimes, like Sarah was mentioning this morning, it might just be thoughts of pain that are plaguing your mind. And we allow that to take over. You're crying on your bed. And when I was struggling deeply with something, my heart was broken. And I had the questions come into my mind over and over again. Well, why? Why? And I tried to figure it out, you know. I thought about it and I worked it out in my mind and it never made sense. And I finally had to come to a point where I said, okay, you know what? This place in my mind is God's. And I'm allowing this to steal my mind from God. It's not wrong to have pain. You're going to have pain in your life. It's not wrong to cry and to feel the pain. But then you have to take it to God and ask Him to put His mind inside of you that you'd be able to not let it pull you under, because it so easily can become bitterness inside of you. And then we take our eyes off of God and let it take possession of us. God says to forsake our own thoughts, because they are not His thoughts. If there's sin, which includes not believing in God, in our heart, it puts a wall between us and God. The Bible says if there's iniquity in our hearts, He won't hear us. So what's inside can actually keep our prayers from getting answered, because they stand in the way of God. We're called to have the mind of Christ. To have His heart for people, His forgiveness, His love, His joy, and His thoughts. Our prayer should be what David's prayer was. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And my Bible actually says that this verse was right after Bathsheba, which I found kind of interesting because that's what the example that I used. He also said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So at the beginning I asked how important our thoughts are. And I think they're pretty important. They can lead us to actions, and they can lead us to hurt other people and destroy ourselves. So what should we think about? And my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible actually, is Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So pure thoughts, lovely thoughts, are what we're, what we need to have, you know, put in place of those other thoughts that come into our minds. And there's a verse in the Bible that kind of goes along with this. It says that the king's daughter is all glorious within. We're all king's daughters if we're daughters of God. And that means that we should be glorious within. That means we should be beautiful within, lovely within, pure. And it doesn't just mean what's on the outside.